You're listening to Bit by Bit, July 4th, 2005. Hello and welcome. My name is Bob Sprankle, and this is Bit by Bit, a podcast by a teacher for teachers, talking and reflecting about the use of technology in instruction and the changing classroom environment in the 21st century. Today's show is going to be technology-based. I got an email by Joel Hefner, and I thank him for that. He was suggesting that I talk about some of the equipment that I use and how you actually host a podcast, or what kind of hosting services you need. So I thought I'd kind of go down to the basics and talk about what I'm using, and this is only one flavor of how to get it done. To get a podcast done, the only thing you really need, that I believe, is a computer. And other than that, you can get sound. As long as you can get sound into the computer, you're golden. If you're using an old tape deck to record things, and that's fine. A lot of people are skipping that because that would be quite cumbersome to take analog and then let it go in at real time and have it become digital. So people are recording right in digital. One of the most popular recorders out there right now is the iRiver. And that's what I primarily use to record the shows that I do. However, you could record right into the computer, and most people are doing that. I'm a Macintosh person, and I've been using Macintosh forever. I haven't really had a lot of experience with PCs. And just about every Mac in the past 5 years that I've had has had an outstanding microphone. In fact, if you listen to the Willoweb podcast, that's a group of kids doing a podcast, their sound is incredible, and I emailed them to ask, what's your setup? And they told me they were using the microphone right on the eMac. The teacher has them get real close to the microphone, and they sound fantastic. I've been trying out a lot of different microphones. My class has had a lot of fun watching me try to find the perfect microphone. Still searching, but I'll tell you what I'm using. And I enjoy using the iRiver because it's very small and portable, and the kids can take it and walk around the classroom with no problem, much better than them carrying around a laptop. So I'm using the iRiver. I have the iRiver IFP-795, quite a popular brand for podcasters. It is a flash drive. It really is about the size of a lipstick tube, and really does not take up much space. That is a 525 megabyte internal flash drive. I believe that's the size. And that is more than ample for my needs. I've never maxed out the time. I believe I can record up to about 6 hours, depending on the bit rate that I use. So that's more than I could ever get done in a day. And usually I record things, and for safety, I back it right up on my computer. So really, if you are just keeping things to your classroom, I don't even think you need the 795. There's a version under that called the IFP-780. That's a 128 megabyte internal, and I believe you could probably record up to about 4 hours on that. So that's fantastic. I was listening to Craig Patchett's show, who I mentioned last time, who was talking about how cheap you can get into podcasting, and he was saying that he saw the 780 for about $50 somewhere. So very inexpensive and fantastic. It has its own internal voice recorder, and it's not bad. I have only used it once with kids when we were doing a fire drill, and I knew that one of my students wanted to do a little documentary on the fire drill, so I just turned it on and handed it off to her. The iRiver is a little tricky, especially at first, to know how to turn things on, get in, change things. It is definitely not intuitive. In fact, most of the time, I need to start it up and hand it off to a student because it there's so many different things to remember how to do it. That's the only one of the drawbacks that I see to it. Another drawback is that you can't change the level of your input volume while recording, and it also has no visual so that you can see how your levels are doing. So you got to kind of play around with some of that, but not bad. A lot of people are using the iPod recorders out there. They're quite good. I know, well, I'm pretty sure David Warlick is using one of those. In fact, on his podcast, one thing that I, you can tell is you can hear the little hard drive whirring because he's using probably the iTalk Griffin microphone with it, and it's picking up the hard drive of the iPod. So that's one of the disadvantages of using a microphone so close to that. There's no sound with the iRiver. I use a microphone that I'll talk about in a moment real close to the actual recorder, and I really never hear it pick up any motor or anything. So I love this little iRiver. It's fantastic, and I'll put the link on the web. Microphone. I am using in the classroom an Audio-Technica Pro 24 XY stereo microphone. I'll put a link on the website. I like it. It's fine. It's real small. Plugs right in. Has its own power source. I think it is a watch battery inside that one. I'll have to check again. Very nice and fantastic. Kids have to get pretty close. The volume with the iRiver input picks up, real close, but not so much of the room sound. For that, I'm using a Sony ECM. Sony ECM-DS70P stereo microphone, and I'll put a link on that as well. I love this microphone for ambient sound or picking up, a lot of people talking. This microphone is incredible. In fact, the first time I recorded something, my dog was barking in the background, and every time I heard it after that with headphones on, I kept turning around because I thought the dog was actually barking again. It is a real-life sound. It's a stereo sound. It's amazing you can get such stereo out of two microphones that are placed so close to each other. It's fantastic. Only drawback with that microphone is any noise to it at all, and it's like you're drumming on the thing. So I usually hook it up right to the iRiver without the extension. You'll see that it can go right in there. And then I try to hold that iRiver very quietly as I walk around and interview kids or have them talk into it. Another microphone out there that's very much like the Audio-Technica is the Sony, and I'll give the number again, ECMMS907 digital recording microphone. Very nice. I prefer the Audio-Technica a little bit more. It's a little less bassy sound, a little more balanced sound. And it seems to have a little push with the volume. Software. What am I using for software? As I said, I am a Macintosh person, so as far as PC, I haven't really tried any PC software, though I know it's out there. Free software that's out there, Audacity. You can record in Audacity, edit in Audacity, put multi-tracking in Audacity. It's all you need. And there's a PC version, a Macintosh version, and I'm pretty sure a Linux version, but I'll have to check that out. That's fantastic. A couple other Macintosh programs that I like, and I kind of go back and forth just because I like certain things about these different software packages. But Sound Studio, quite a nice editor. You cannot multi-track in that, I don't believe, but I like that a lot. Amadeus is another great one. And then I got GarageBand with my Macintosh, so that was free, and that's fantastic. You could do the entire podcast in GarageBand. In fact, I'll put a link on the show notes that Apple is actually touting GarageBand as the podcasting software. Especially now that they are doing the whole iTunes podcasting thing. I'm going to put up an article linked on the website too, in Gadget, I believe is how you say it. And there's a great article that talks about how to really start from the basics of podcasting. Joel also asked about hosting. Hosting, my setup is that I bought my own domain space about a year ago, and I'm quite happy with it. It's Bluehost. Hosting services. Very happy. I forget how much space I have, but the thing that I do like is I have 100 gigabyte bandwidth allotment a month. And I got a little nervous as some of the hits were getting high, but I haven't come close to that, so that's great. There are services out there that are just starting to crop up, gearing themselves for podcasting and to take that bandwidth hit. And if you listen to some of the podcasts, folks out there like Adam Curry and all, a lot of people took some big hits after iTunes got into the picture this past week and servers just crashed, or they, you know, some people filled up their allotment of bandwidth and a lot of trouble happened. But as far as Libsyn is concerned, there's no bandwidth restrictions. You have restrictions on how much of a file you can upload each week. It's quite reasonably priced. I believe it's $5 a month for 100 megabytes about a week, I think is what it is. I'll put a link on there and you can go check it out. And when and if I actually start tapping out with bandwidth, then I will go to Libsyn, and I've heard some great things about it. The other thing that I'm doing to try to help with bandwidth, and I mentioned this earlier in another show, is the Internet Archive. That's where all that Creative Commons stuff is hosted that I talked about in the last show. And I am putting a lot of my files right up there. And they're Creative Commons licensed, and other people can use them as they will. So that's a nice free service that they'll host your files and take the bandwidth hit for you. Of course, it is free, and if anything goes wrong, you have nobody that you can really talk to. So you kind of have to play that out. The other thing with it, when I upload a file to the Internet Archive, it has to be approved by a moderator. So it could take, about 12 hours before the file is actually available. A lot of times I'll post the file on my server, wait until it's available at the Internet Archive, and then I'll switch my link over. So there's a little bit of basics about software and my hosting and the tools that I'm using. If you have more questions, feel free to email me. I see that I'm around my 10-minute mark. Email us at bitbybitpodcast@gmail.com and visit us at bobsprankle.com/bitbybit. Take care.